New York's new normal.
This podcast is supported by American Express Bank FSB, offering high-yield savings accounts designed with convenient features to help reach savings goals. To learn more or open an account online, visit personalsavings.com/savings. Member FDIC.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and I'm standing out on the street here in Midtown Manhattan, where you get a little bit of a microcosm of what's going on here. Let me just start with the subway station, which is just a couple of blocks up the street. It's going to open today. It's going to be the first time we've had subway service in New York since before the storm, and it's only going to be part of the system as much as they can open at this point. Still, all of Lower Manhattan, which has no power, will also have no subway service. So that's going to make it very difficult for people to get around again. And speaking of which, this street that I'm standing on is going to be mobbed with traffic in about an hour. As soon as the commuting really gets going, there was an amazing traffic jam yesterday. It's going to be the same thing today because you've got all of these New Yorkers trying to get to work without the train system that they're used to. Now, if you look around further, you will see a Starbucks, you will see a Citibank. These buildings are going to be filled with people who are trying to charge their electronic devices, their phones, their computers. They're going to be sitting there all day on their phones and on their computers using internet because it's the only way that many people can do it right now with about half the island of Manhattan with no power. The other thing you're going to see is restaurants, and they are going to be filled with people because think about it, you've got an entire island worth of people trying to get into only half as many restaurants. Supplies are low. Employees, there aren't very many employees right now because still many people can't get here. Now, for people who have suffered damage, a lot of people who live in New York City are renters, and you would think, well, what about the renter's insurance? Well, the problem is, it's not a very popular product. And Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has our story on that.
Renter's insurance covers household possessions and may cover your hotel bill if your home gets damaged. But fewer than a third of renters have insurance. Daniel Schwartz teaches law at the University of Minnesota. He says most people don't buy renter's insurance because they don't have to.
It's an optional product. There's no outside compelling force to purchase it as there is in the case of homeowner's insurance,
which is required by mortgage companies. And renter's insurance doesn't get a lot of publicity, says Amy Bach, executive director of United Policyholders, a nonprofit consumer group.
You probably never even thought about it, right? It's an under-marketed product.
Because it's not a very profitable product, says Bach. Renter's insurance typically costs a few hundred dollars a year. And even consumers who have heard about it are often inclined to pass because budgets are tight.
More and more we'll go into an area where there's been a disaster and we find people who don't have insurance.
Bach says this is especially true in cities like L.A., Chicago, and Houston, where more than half the households rent. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in Hong Kong, but down just slightly right now in Frankfurt and Paris. Here in this country, we're going to get quarterly earnings reports from one of America's largest companies, ExxonMobil, and from the recipient of America's biggest bailout from the financial crisis, the insurance giant AIG. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 11 points to close at 13,096.
This podcast is supported by American Express Bank FSB, offering high-yield savings accounts with a competitive variable interest rate and convenient access via phone or web. Link your existing bank accounts without switching banks. To learn how this FDIC-insured high-yield savings account can complement your savings goals and to open an account online, visit personalsavings.com/savings. Member FDIC.
Well, we are just about 5 days away from Election Day, which means one way or another, the economy is going to get a little bit of certainty in a few days. So what does that mean for ordinary investors and people with retirement accounts? That is the subject of today's Money Matters segment when we look at how the economic stories of the day affect your wallet. And to help us do that, we are joined now by Patty Hirsch, who is the senior producer of personal finance here at Marketplace. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Patty, we've got some potential trouble ahead, the fiscal cliff, and, of course, who knows what's going to happen in this election coming up. What should people do?
Well, yeah, you're right. We have got some trouble ahead. It's like when you're driving down the road and you've got that little sign that says it's got the bumps in the road coming up.
Yeah.
There's no doubt we could be in for some bumps. But the fact is that the stock market is still the place to be. It's returning far better returns than treasuries, far better returns than investment-grade bonds. Even Warren Buffett says that the stock market is the place to be if you want growth and you're looking for to retirement. You've got to stay in the stock market. Yes, you're going to get some bumps. That always happens in the stock market. It is a day-to-day risky place to be, but long-term, it's where you want to be to get your growth for retirement.
Well, by and large, are people taking Warren Buffett's advice? Are ordinary people in the stock market? They weren't scared away from the financial crisis several years ago?
Look, the vast amount of Americans who are in the stock market are not in the stock market themselves in that they're not sort of trading equities day-to-day. They're in the stock market through institutions, through their retirement accounts, through their 401ks and 403bs. And those institutions that are investing that money for them are still full on in the stock market. We've got $5.7 trillion invested in stock market mutual funds in this country. That's more than bond and money market funds combined.
So what about ordinary investors, people who are actually playing the market through E-Trade or Ameritrade or one of these companies?
Yeah, there are a few of those. Institutional investors are very rude about those people. They call them dumb money. And what happens a lot of the time...
dumb money.
That's what they call them, because a lot of the time they get freaked out by the movements in the stock market. You know, they buy when stocks are high, they sell when stocks fall. And there's no doubt that people have been pulling their money out as the market has sort of dropped down with these high frequency trading issues and with this correction that we saw in the market whenever companies started to return some bad numbers. So yes, people do get freaked out, but they shouldn't. The fact is, if you're in the stock market as an individual investor, you should be in for the long term unless you really, really know what you're doing. And let's face it, most amateurs do not know what they're doing. They're playing in a very, very professional game, and it's very hard to make money there.
I guess if these big shot investors think that ordinary investors are dumb money, then that would make them smart money. Is that what they think?
That's what they think. We know from experience that's not the case, but that's what the lore is, yeah.
Patty Hirsch, senior producer of Personal Finance and author of the new book, Man Versus Markets. Thanks a lot, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, to Sweden, where one town has a new plan to deal with youth unemployment. Send the young job seekers to Norway. Anyone between 18 and 28 in the town of Sonderham can take what's called a job journey to Oslo, where they'll be put up in a youth hostel for a month while they look for work. And according to the Telegraph newspaper, about 100 Swedes have taken job journeys to Norway so far. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.